I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like pina colada.
Spilled your pina colada? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to getting caught in the rain. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
From nurses to truck drivers, doctors to grocery clerks, the front lines in today's crisis are filled with brave actions every day. And you can do your part by completing the 2020 census. This simple effort online, by phone, or by mail will help impact the next 10 years of healthcare, schools, and roads. All of our first responders need your response. So go to 2020census.gov today. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census.
Riverside is a small batch rye whiskey crafted in Memphis from the spirit of rock and roll. At 93 proof, every sip tells a story. Join us in our rye rebellion and pour a glass of Riverside rye. Cheers, y'all.
Go against the current with Riverside rye. Please drink responsibly.
When faced with challenges, Americans have always risen to the occasion. Since 1928, Cook's Pest Control has consistently done our part to help protect health and property. As we confront the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has deemed pest control as an essential service to help protect homes, hospitals, and our food supply. Cook's Pest Control is on the job. We're here when you need us.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that Mercedes-Benz of Memphis remains open with all the great Mercedes in stock, new and used. It's located 5389 Poplin. Right now, they're offering deferred payments. Yep, Mercedes-Benz of Memphis has a 90-day deferred payment plan. So check the inventory at mbofmemphis.com.
Hello, heavy lifters, deal seekers, business owners, and one-man crews. Welcome to your local Cat dealer, Thompson Machinery. Your home for Cat compact equipment and offers like 0% for 60 months and no payments for 90 days. Whether you're buying, renting, or looking for preventative maintenance, at Thompson Machinery, it all starts with hello. Visit tmcat.com/bigtimesupport and be sure to ask about 0% for 60 months plus 90 days, no payments and no interest. Terms and conditions apply.
In normal times, now would be a season of celebration. Well, at the Tennessee Lottery, we think it still should be. That's why we're proud to celebrate the hard work and success of this year's graduates. While your year was cut short, make no mistake, what you've accomplished will be remembered and admired for many years to come. Congratulations, class of 2020. You are truly one of a kind. The Tennessee Education Lottery, game-changing, graduate-celebrating fun.
Did you know the Tennessee Lottery has raised $5 billion for education? Oh, sorry, I said $5 billion. That can't be right.
It's true. In fact, the Tennessee Lottery has raised over $5 billion for education. It's impacted the entire state.
Really? So you could say the Tennessee Lottery is not only changing the state, it's changing lives.
Well, actually, I do say that. The Tennessee Education Lottery. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
In the wake of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, we're being asked to stay home in an attempt to stop the spread of the virus. So radio.com is giving you an opportunity to stay connected with our live daily online broadcast called I'm Listening, Stay Connected. I'm Dr. Chris Donahue. I'll be joined by celebrities and experts in the field of mental health to give you facts and tools to support and guide you. Watch I'm Listening, Stay Connected every day at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Stay connected with radio.com.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
I'm moving along. 1 hour now, two to go into the noon hour, which means it's time to do the rundown.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
So ESPN has finalized their coronavirus space eaters, what I'm calling it, finalizing their ranking of the best 74 players of all time. 74, because that's how long the NBA has been in existence.
Oh, okay.
And as you know, Brad, anytime you put together a list like this, the NFL did it with their 100th anniversary a year ago. You're going to ruffle feathers.
Of course.
And on social media, you know that people were all up in their feelings. And let's get to the list, and then I want to get your feelings about it. So the top 10 players going from 10 to 1. Number 10. Shaq.
Okay.
Number 9, a little surprise with this one, Kobe.
Too low or too high for you?
I would move him up, I think,
would too.
Ahead of the next guy, which is number 8, Tim Duncan.
Yep, I would
too. So I'm at least bumping Kobe to 8.
I agree with that.
Number 7, you got Larry Legend, Larry Bird.
I like where
he's
at.
Celtics guy. I love Larry. Like, I like 7.
I like 7. I think 7 is exactly where he needs to be.
I think so. Wilt Chamberlain at number 6.
Yep.
Can't argue with that, I don't think.
I don't know enough, given
I
era.
Mean,
but
great player. He just ran into playing the wrong teams at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, a la Charles Barkley, a la Karl Malone,
apparently
Patrick Ewing.
Apparently, Wilt ran into more than just basketball games, if you're following me.
Hey-o! I'm with you. I understand where you're going with that.
Thank you.
Kids, don't Google it.
No.
Number 5, Magic Johnson.
Magic at 5, I can see that.
I got no problem.
Okay.
Honestly, with these next three, I have no problem.
I think the top three is dead on.
Yeah, I do too.
Spot on.
Bill Russell, I don't think you can argue with that. Oh. Dude won, 11 championships in 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
And was also an incredible player. He's not just there for the rings. He was the reason they won those rings.
Rebounding, just a monster.
In defense. Changed the way the game was played.
Yep.
Number 3, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, a lot of people might have issues with that, but, you never saw him. You know, I remember him, and it was towards the end of his career, but it was so long.
Late.
And,
late.
You just couldn't stop the skyhook.
No.
He was just a scoring machine. He's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the league. Where else are you going to put him?
I
don't know that you're bumping him anywhere.
I also, in his time at UCLA, obviously a terrific college player, too.
Yeah.
But in terms of the NBA, he's one of these old-school guys that I actually witnessed because he played until 1989.
Yep.
He played a long time. He was good for a long time.
Yep.
Obviously, his athleticism was based on his height, but, he averaged a double-double. I mean, he's a great player.
Yep.
And the idea that he was on some of those Lakers teams with Worthy.
Magic.
They were good pieces, though.
Oh,
and I think that's where Kareem, unlike Jordan, where Jordan did have Pippen, but, it was an ensemble cast beyond that.
Sure, sure.
So Kareem at 3, I can see that.
Kareem at 3. LeBron at 2, which, of course, puts Michael Jordan number 1.
The GOAT.
And honestly, I got no problem
with
that.
I don't either.
It's been really interesting to gauge the reaction, at least on social media.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard it listening to people, because I know this has been a big topic for the guys, has been The Last Dance, that documentary on Michael Jordan.
What do you think of it? You've been watching it?
I love it. I remember when it first came out, and it may have been when I was filling in over the summer for Gary or whoever, and it was, hey, the Bulls are doing a 10-hour series. I'm like, wow, 10 hours. That seems like a lot.
Long.
You know what I mean?
And it doesn't seem like enough at this point.
No. I mean, I said it that first night. I'm like, I'm here for 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, me too.
Keep them going.
Me too.
Love the interviews. I love just how he's come across. I don't want to say unapologetic,
yeah,
because you saw him tear up the other night, if you were watching, when he talked mm-hmm. about why I am the way that I am and the way that I was. And there's a million different ways, as they say, to skin a cat. Not yeah. politically correct with PETA, but whatever.
No,
it's an old-timey saying. Tim Duncan wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that Bill Russell was hated by, you know, all the guys he played with, Magic Johnson, et cetera. But that's what worked for Jordan. And yep. I know the buzz coming into it was, oh, you may view him differently. You might dislike him a little bit. I like him more.
I like him more. I mean? But I like that style of leadership. That's a leadership style. Yeah. Jeff has asked the question a lot on his show, like, do you have to be an a-hole to be a leader? And the answer, of course, is no. But for that team, Pippen was a lamb. Pippen wasn't a dog. So, like, somebody had to be the dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got this Zen leader. The Zen leader isn't going to always chew your ass.
Yeah.
So it sort of worked.
Yeah.
You know, it really worked well.
You look across sports in any genre of not just players but coaches.
Yeah.
Like Belichick, not a fun guy to play for.
Nope.
Everybody says that.
And it's a business approach. It's very and not emotional, right?
No.
It's different.
And he wins. But then you guys, Pete Carroll has won a Super Bowl. I mean, there's different ends of the spectrum. Don Shula did it a different
Very
way.
Very different. Yeah, Pete Carroll is, like you said, is different.
Look in the NBA. You got Steve Kerr, who seems like, you know, he could be a great guy to have a beer with.
Penny is going through, pardon the dump there. For you on the internet, you got to hear it. But Penny's going through this now because when he doesn't win, and that's when you hear, is when people really take you to task.
Sure.
Like when Penny is lost, they've been like, well, he needs to yell more. He needs to cuss out and dog cuss these guys. And that's just not his style, you know?
Well, you remember what was the biggest knock on Pastner? Oh, he doesn't cuss at him.
Not you getting after him.
You can't coach Memphis kids. You can't win in Memphis. You can't do that if you're not talking to them in their language.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they didn't win anything big. So maybe there's something
maybe
to
there
that.
Is something. I don't know.
I don't know. But that's interesting, you know? And I don't know. I've been fascinated by it. It's been really entertaining, and just you learn something. You learn so much and stuff that you forgot.
Well, and the more I watch LeBron, as he gets older, and he has obviously a different swag than when he first came into the league in terms of the way he leads and he talks and his advocacy and social influence, I think he's become more like Jordan. When you hear him talk now, it's much more decisive. It's much more on him, you know, and then getting into the teammates a little bit in their ass and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think you see it with the Lakers now, you know. But the list, I tend to agree with, honestly. I thought Scottie was a little low, and we can talk a little bit about that throughout the show, but I'm a big Scottie Pippen fan. I think Scottie doesn't get his credit because of his style. I just think he was so soft-spoken, and then, you know, he did some boneheaded stuff with the sit-out play and the Kukoc moment.
Right.
I just think, you know, and I watched all those games. He was amazing. And a team player. You know, that was what was so different than when Westbrook and Durant were playing together in Oklahoma City. They could never get the formula right. And it seemed like with Scottie and Jordan, they got the formula right. And I give both of them a lot of credit for that. But I think Scottie, you know, where they have Scottie. He's not in the top 20.
I think he's 21.
He's not in the top 20. They've got Garnett ahead of Pippen, and I can see Kevin Garnett's a good player. Dirk is ahead of Pippen. Moses Malone is ahead of Pippen. Like, I think Pippen's a better player than Karl Malone. And I know Karl Malone at the time was outperforming him with some of these statistic lines. He was a double-double guy.
Yeah.
But, like, Pippen was awesome, you know? Pippen was awesome.
I don't necessarily
you can disagree with me.
No, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I'm looking at the list right now because I hadn't studied the who's ahead of Pippen. Kevin Garnett, I think, is better than Pippen.
I agree with that.
I think Dirk is better than Pippen. Mm-hmm. Moses, dominant in his time. I didn't get to see him enough.
The Karl Malone, I guess, is the one I disagree with the most on. And again, he's a power forward, so it's hard to gauge against a nuanced wing forward like Pippen. But
he's number two all time in scoring.
Yeah,
like that's where you get into like he was dominant for so long.
Long time.
Like he had that was it. I mean, he wasn't running on fast breaks and dunk.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like
here's
was a power forward.
Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant is a dominant player, but, you know, it's cut short by injury and we get to see part two hopefully soon. But, you know, he averages here's his career 27-7-4. Pippen, now
four-time scoring champion, and I'm not rattling these stats off the top of my head.
I'm looking at it. You got to look at the winning, too, though. And,
yeah.
I think the winning really is what you got to go. Like, that's why I think Steph Curry, you can argue about what you see, little guard, but, man, I think you can put him at 13 where they've got him because he's just a friggin' winner.
Great shooter. Greatest shooter of all time. I got. And so here's some of the names, too, that aren't going to, and these lists always tend to overlook players that played a long time ago. And here's the perfect example. Oscar Robertson, again, not a guy that I saw play, but a guy that you always hear about.
When like
everybody talks about what he did and how the fact that he was the first to average a triple-double. He's the only player in NBA history in the top 10 in points per game and assists per game. Like, that's got to count for something, right?
The way that people from my father's age talk is Oscar Robertson should be in the top 10.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I'm saying.
They may have him a little low there at 11.
Yeah, and Hakeem Olajuwon, he was a big man that, like,
he was great.
That could do everything.
Well, and that documentary really, as many people have pointed out, slights that Houston two-year run.
Yeah, they
just totally overlook
yes,
it.
Yes, they do.
You know, and the documentary has also become the Jordan documentary. That's the other thing that's noticeable.
Very true, too. And I've read from the filmmakers, whoever, they're like, listen, like, he gave us his access, you know, without him signing off on it, this doesn't get done. However, he hasn't, and this is what they say, I don't know the truth to it or not, but this is what they say, like, he has not weighed in and told us what to talk about, what not to talk about. Now, it is his version of the truth, because even him dumping on Isaiah, which I've loved, I've never liked Isaiah Thomas.
No, and he's just not watching very likable.
No, he really is.
He's not likable.
But different people have come out and said, no, actually, that was Michael that wanted to keep him off the team. Yeah. So, like, it's his version of the truth, and everyone's got their own version of the truth, you know, years later. I've been fascinated by it, man.
Well, and what you learn, like, because I think Pippen is shaded in a very bad way in this documentary.
Yeah, for sure.
His worst moments are amplified.
The migraine, that smirk that Jordan gives.
Yeah, like. And we've all, if we're all remember, and here's the other thing, like, I don't think Pippen will be remembered from his worst moments that they've pointed out in this thing. Like, people have said, well, he'll never over, and I said, Jordan said the same thing about the sitting out moment with the Kukoc shot.
Mm-hmm.
I never remembered that until
I did.
Did you remember
I did.
It?
Yeah. So here's my deal. So Celtics fan for forever.
Yeah.
I became a Knicks fan in the 80s because of Patrick Ewing and the tie-in from Georgetown. That was the college team that we
followed.
Yeah. So I became a Knicks fan, and I really started to hate the Bulls, and I started to dislike Jordan because the Knicks couldn't get past him.
Yeah.
And I disliked Pippen. It was easier to, like, you couldn't hate Michael Jordan. Even if you tried to work up a good hate, you couldn't. So you could hate the other guys. You could hate Scottie Pippen. That dunk over Patrick Ewing was one of the most vicious dunks of all time.
I think it might be the best on-court real-time dunk in NBA history.
Okay, I was going to say. So
number one.
You take out Vince Carter dunking over...
and that's a foreign...
That was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Right. So...
The Vice dunk is probably number one overall NBA-wide.
Right.
That Pippen dunk
and
Ewing was just all up in it.
He just murdered him. That
just
was
killed him.
That was awful. So I do think, though, when that time comes, and hopefully it's in 50, 60 years, right, for Scottie, but I think that's mentioned. I think that's in the lead somewhere. You know, great player, Hall of Famer.
I hope not for his sake. I do feel bad for him.
For sure. No. Nobody wants to remember by their worst moments, right, that happened in a split moment.
Yeah, one moment you decide not to go in the game, and that bothers you.
Yeah, for sure.
It happens to all of us, I guess. Yeah. But I think so. We're in agreement on number one. It's Jordan over LeBron.
Jordan. Okay. I got Jordan.
Next story.
Okay, this is from our friends at Barrett Sports Media. And what they've done is the column is on the best analyst in each sport. So we're talking about Major League Baseball, NHL, college basketball, NBA, NFL, and NCAA, college football. Tony Romo, NFL. Yes or no, best analyst?
I'm going to go with no.
No.
He drives me a little crazy in that sometimes he just roots too much for a specific thing to happen. And some of the things he says, like, hey, it's not over. Like, I know it's not over. There's a lot of – I like Chris Collinsworth.
I think Chris Collinsworth's really good.
I would say Chris Collinsworth. And honestly, I like Troy Aikman a lot.
I like Aikman, too. My problem is people brag about the Tony Romo predicting plays routine.
Right.
Like, that does nothing for me. And maybe it's because I'm not a super... I'm a big football fan, but, like, people get off on him going, this is going to be a draw to the, you know, and they're going to bring the guy in motion. Watch this. And then they do it. Like, that... I don't care.
I think a lot of quarterbacks could do that. And then, obviously, the flip side is, well, why doesn't Troy Aikman? Why have another quarterback?
Right.
I don't know. I can't answer that. I think a lot of quarterbacks, if you sit behind a mic
offense,
and get them to... They recognize it. That's what they have to do, or else they're not a good quarterback. He's great at what he does, and this is not a knock on Tony Romo.
Yeah, I think he's very good.
I did think that contract was crazy. Like, I'm not tuning into a game because Romo's doing it. I'm tuning into the game to watch the game. You know, as a byproduct, hey, good for him. Make your money. Do what you could do. But, like, he's fine. This is where
I think Peyton Manning has an opportunity to be the best NFL analyst, and here's why. He's a terrific storyteller and a good old boy, and people love that. Like, when he was on that trash-talking video with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady, like, he's the funniest one on the whole thing.
Yeah. So, he's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. You watch it from his efforts at Saturday Night Live over the years. He can ad-lib. I think he'd be terrific, too. I don't know if it'll come to that.
Doris Burke for the NBA. I don't know if Doris is number one. I really like Doris, but that's...
I still like Hubie Brown.
You like Van Gundy?
I like Van Gundy and Mark Jackson will just go wildly off topic and just ignore the game and push whatever agenda. It's kind of like when I sit in and I start talking Patriots. You're like, okay, it's reeling it in a little bit. You know what I mean?
It happens.
It happens sometimes. Yeah. I like Doris Burke. I think she's great.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I do like Hubie Brown. And
Brown's good.
That's been fun listening. Again, Last Dance, you hear Hubie. I mean, I really enjoyed his time as the head coach when he would just sit there and you'd be able to go in to the post-game interviews and there'd be, you know, three TV guys in there and like in maybe Ron Taylor or something like that. Yeah. Like, 'cause there wasn't the crush that it has become now. And he would just talk and like, you just learn so much listening to him. You're like, my God, this dude, you know, he knows everything. It's,
you know,
he was fun to listen to.
You know who I miss locally as an analyst is Hank McDowell. I think Hank is
terrific,
gifted when it comes to the NBA because he's a former player, just talking. Feels comfortable.
Yes.
And
I think just about to say that.
Doesn't feel comfortable when I listen to her talk on the sideline. And I like Doris, but it seems like this sort of forced analyst. It's like, and that's where I think Hubie is so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Interesting. Okay.
Am I being too harsh?
No. Everybody's got their own opinion. No, I like her. But
who they picked.
Yeah, I take Hubie.
John Smoltz, MLB. I don't think John's number one.
Yeah. He's good. But like, I think that becomes a regional thing. So here's who I like. Jerry Remy.
Yeah,
for the Boston Red Sox. He's great. Dennis Eckersley. I love him. Mm-hmm. Does the Red Sox as well. And again, that's a regional thing. I've heard more of them than anybody else. I like Smoltz. I think he's good.
And I think, obviously, I think when Mike Shannon's giving analysis rather than play-by-play for the Cardinals, I think he's good.
Yep.
And I love Tim McCarver as a baseball player and a fan. Not a big Tim McCarver analyst guy. When he was on the Fox broadcast and he does some of the regional Cardinal games, I'm like McCarver, when a guy slides into second, it is, that guy just slid into second and he put his hand in front and then he points out exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not much, so I'm not as much of a Tim McCarver guy on analyst. I think Smoltz is fine. He can be interesting. I'm going to skip hockey because people don't care about hockey here. They just don't.
Sorry, NHL.
Sorry, guys.
There goes my next segment.
They've got Joel Klatt for a college football. I don't think a lot of people know Joel Klatt, even.
I don't think
That's
so
Fox.
Either. Yeah. I don't know that they do.
This is one man's
opinion. What about Kirk Herbstreit? Wouldn't that be Herbstreit and slam dunk?
You would think, and that's why they're probably talking about using Herbstreit if they don't have college and they have NFL because they value him so much. Herbie's okay. I think that whole, you know, college game day thing is all of them are awesome and very gifted. And then I think this one's 100% slam dunk, and that's Jay Billis for college basketball.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Gary does a terrific job when he's doing analyst stuff. But I think Jay is obviously really good at that, too.
I think Clark Kellogg's really good. Now, are we talking then analysts or simply anybody on the broadcast, not the play-by-play
guy? They've listed this as best analyst in each sport, and this is this is Andy from Andy Mashur from Barrett's organization. I thought it was an interesting topic,
because
a lot of people are missing this stuff. We're not hearing these people.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I'd need to go back in baseball and think of the other national play-by-play guys that they have and who they're paired up with.
Well, and baseball's changed so much because I've been watching and listening to these Cardinal throwback games because that's what they're running.
Yep.
And when you listen to the Jack Buck games, they did a lot of solo when the person would call the game and they were the analyst. Like Jack Buck, that's where you go swing and a miss and it's a hit and it's a drive to right field. Way back and it's gone. Go crazy, folks. You know, usually now they've got this analyst who's – and sometimes they can interrupt. Sometimes it's not as good because the analyst jumps in when they're trying to make the play call.
Yep.
It's a tough job sometimes being an analyst.
No doubt.
Next story.
All right, so let's jump to the NFL story you sent me last night. Joe Buck, speaking of announcers, lead NFL announcer at Fox, said Fox will handle things a little differently as we get ready for whatever the NFL season looks like, if and when it returns, that Fox will pump in artificial crowd noise to their game broadcasts as they anticipate fewer and possibly no fans in some stadiums this season.
Interesting.
And this is interesting. Now, I should point out, since my Patriots are always accused of cheating, there have been a number of teams that have been busted for piping in crowd noise over the years.
They've gotten in trouble for
this. The Colts, the Falcons, Tampa Bay. Yeah.
The Grizzlies got popped for having their music too loud a few years ago.
I do remember
during
that.
The playoffs. They're like, you got to turn it down a few dB.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this idea?
I don't know. Here's the thing. Like, you know what it's like to run a board and to be sitting there, oh, I should hit this like real fast.
Yeah.
You know, you better have like the best, most quick Twitch audio guy in the history of the world, because God forbid the day that Brad Carson back to pass, oh, it's picked off, and he runs it back. And home team, it's a pick six for the Patriots. And then the guy hits the applause instead of the boo.
Can I be honest with you? The technology is so good.
Disaster is waiting to happen.
This is more than a two-man radio show that they're doing. I'm going to make a bet. I bet if Fox puts the money and the time and the effort into a green screen backdropping, or just the field view is all you see, and then you've got the nuanced crowd noise technology or what, I actually think you're going to not see a massive difference.
How far are they willing to push the envelope? In other words, so we've got Saints and Rams
from
3 years ago.
Okay.
They blow that call. Okay.
Now
terrible
call. That's where
call.
It gets a little funky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that happens. Are they playing the crowd? Rick,
no.
You suck.
I don't think so. And I think
is it a generic?
This is the best thing ever if you're a referee because you don't have to deal with that crap.
Let me tell you, I'll be interested if we get to that point and the players, how is it going to affect the on field product? Like, you're not feeding off the crowd?
No.
Well,
I think home field advantage is lesser, number one.
No doubt about it.
Number two, I bet you the calls, like the honest or the integrity of the referee and the calling the game, I think it'll be better. Because
you're not influenced by
so many distractions. The research bears this out that like there's home field advantage to what the referees are calling and that sort of stuff. Although it didn't help the New England when you're down there in New Orleans a few years ago.
Correct.
But I'm interested in it. I think it's probably the right idea. I was watching a show, and now granted it's a TV show for kids, but it was Nickelodeon, and they're doing these new versions of Nickelodeon shows, and it's Zoom meeting type style.
Okay.
Where the kids are acting and they're doing their thing with the backgrounds, and they still pipe in the laugh track.
Okay.
So, like, for a little joke, and Jake doesn't know the difference. Like, he doesn't think anything of it. So I think it'll be similar, maybe even better because of the technology.
Here's the thing.
You know more about TV than I do.
You can do it in Madden, and it's fine, right? So, I'm assuming if they can do it for Madden, they can do it for real life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can make it happen on Madden. You can make anything happen.
I suppose so.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll get one more in here.
Next story.
All right, so this is sort of along the lines of fake background noise. This will be our final one, and then we'll get to Mike Keith from the Titans next. From CNN, and this has been covered all over the country. It was the biggest story yesterday in terms of restaurants opening back up. Diners reopening a restaurant, and this is up in the Northeast. Somebody's come up with the idea. The Inn at Little Washington, an Inn and restaurant an hour and a half west of D.C., they plan on reopening with mannequins.
I saw this. So you're gonna have
like stand-ins at the table next to help, it's a dummy.
Yes. So you feel like you're still getting the dining out experience. There's other people and they're doing this.
Fake humans sitting in seats in restaurants to try to fill it out because you're social distancing.
Let me tell you what. By the way, belated happy anniversary to you and your wife.
Oh, thank you.
My lovely wife and I are coming up on our anniversary.
Oh.
And if I took her to Restaurant Iris, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't know if Kelly is he's still doing the delivery, but
let's say they were open. Theoretical world.
So Restaurant Iris is our example.
Let's say it's open.
Right. Fine dining.
Fine dining. Mm-hmm. And if he has stuffed his dining room with mannequins, when I'm just anticipating the stuffed surf and turf, I think I just go, Kelly, thank you. I gotta
go. Into it.
Like the creepy factor is through the freaking roof. And I don't care how you dress these things up. Yeah. That's a freaking horror movie waiting to happen.
So funny.
Like I don't understand. I get that you're trying to think outside the box, but like am I wrong here?
I think it's a little bizarre. And clearly it's a good way to get attention for your restaurant is to put these dummies in there because everybody's picking up on this and they're getting mentioned all over the place. So
like where would you accept seeing mannequins? Like if you had to fly to Vegas tomorrow for Entercom, they're calling you in, big meeting of all of our top brass, and you climb on the plane and there's you and like six people and then 100 mannequins. You'd get off the plane, right?
It's a little creepy. Like, dude. I'm even creeped out by Madame Tussauds. Like, I can't even go into a wax museum. I think dummies are so strange.
Like, I get it. Like, I understand when I'm in a clothing store, right. I'm going to see mannequins. Although, and I'll be honest, the headless, naked torso ones, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
See, now, those I'd get down with. Like, put people in odd positions. It might be kind of funny.
I don't know.
No.
But where else are you going to have, though? You want them in a movie theater with you?
No.
No. God, no.
No, I
restaurants, no. Again, here's where I would accept them. I would accept them. Like, if you want to stuff FedEx Forum with, you know, 10,000 mannequins,
yeah.
Have a mannequin section, okay, I'm okay with that.
Surely there's got to be a way with technology to green screen it type deal with fake fans on these TV broadcasts for, like, those NBA games, right? Instead of putting dummies in the stands. You know,
even if you have like a mannequin section, whatever, like do weird stuff with them.
Ron Artest would have been so much better off at the Malice at the Palace if he would have went in and it was just
smashed
a,
mannequins.
Yeah, it was just a dummy instead of a real person that he was bashing their head in. You know, throwing beer at them. They also don't cuss at the players. Like, it's so much better for the players.
I'm saying
they can sign autographs and for fake dummies. You know, there's not as much social distancing. It's so much better.
You fall into the crowd, no big deal. You just split a mannequin in half,
just
right?
Busted a plastic dude in half.
I'm just saying. That's super creepy, though. I have no interest in dining anywhere with mannequins.
I think we were agreement on the basketball.
Stay in the department store.
We're against the mannequins.
Department store, yes. Maybe at an arena, a stadium, okay. Anywhere else, no. We're out on mannequins. All right. We will get into some NFL and talk Tennessee Titans with Mike Keith. When we come back, Matt Starkin for Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's 92.9's Mid-South Senior Athlete Salute, honoring local Mid-South senior athletes during the month of May who won't be finishing their seasons on campus. If you are a senior or have a senior son or daughter whose season was cut short due to COVID, let us know. Go to 92.9ESPN.com and click on the Senior Athlete Salute. We'll give special shout-outs live weekdays in May, and we'll feature seniors on air, online, and through 92.9's social channels. It's the 92.9 FM ESPN Mid-South Senior Athlete Salute.
The Live Love Memphis Group of REMAX experts. Listen, you want to get involved with the real estate market in the city of Memphis in the Mid-South, and I recommend doing it with the team at Live Love Memphis. They're the best in Memphis, and they are built to help you navigate these crazy times. This is what they do. They make things easy for their clients, whether you're buying, whether you're selling. They can take you through that process. They can help you if you're buying and you don't want to necessarily go inside the home because you're nervous. They can do that for you, show you virtually. Same thing on the other side. If you're selling, they can discuss the list price with you, all virtually, that easy. All you have to do is email at info@livelovememphis.com.
You have to do it any way you want it. 901-685-6000. Again, 901-685-6000. Can do that video conference, can video conference a showing, and do it from the comfort of your couch. The point is just call 901-685-6000. Ask for Jennifer Carstensen. She's the captain of this hardworking Live Love Memphis team that you guys know. Got my home sold now over a year and a half ago. They'll get the job done for you as well. They're at livelovememphis.com.
Whether it's joining friends for a virtual happy hour, FaceTime calls with your parents, or drive-by birthday parties, we're all finding ways to stay connected. And radio.com helps you stay connected to the news you need and the entertainment you love. Go to radio.com and the radio.com app for the latest local and national news, podcasts to keep you inspired and the family entertained, or discover your work-from-home soundtrack with hundreds of music and sports stations. We'll be with you whenever you need us. Go to radio.com and the radio.com app to stay connected.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card after mail-in rebate. You can even order at O'ReillyAuto.com and we'll deliver it curbside. Protect your engine from sludge and wear at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So, have you noticed how everyone's grammar is completely awful now? Like, you know, the texting and the LOLs. Whatever happened to punctuation? I mean, drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, folks.
folks. Bob Berkheimer for Sunrise Buick GMC Truck. A lot has happened overnight and just wanted to let you know we're open at Sunrise for all your automotive needs. Service, body shop, parts, and sales. Go online to sunrisememphis.com to schedule an appointment. Should you need a vehicle, we're offering 0% up to 84 months with deferred payments up to 120 days. You can shop online. We'll bring the car or truck to you. At Sunrise, we know you want to feel safe, so bring your car or truck to any Sunrise location and we'll disinfect it at no charge. Sunrise, stress-free and safe. Covington Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Welcome back. Matt Stark on the mic today. And right now we are joined by a voice that you all know, Mike Keith, voice of the Tennessee Titans, who I just discovered yesterday is not on Twitter. Mike, first of all, how are you, and how is it in this day and age that you're not a Twitterer?
I'm fine. It's kind of a weird position to be in because I work for the team.
Yep.
And have worked directly for the team for 22-plus years. And the difficulty that I'm in is if people ask me certain questions on Twitter, there are times that I can't answer them because being inside the building, which we normally are, I may know things. And I don't ever want to mislead anybody or provide, you know, because I don't want anybody to say that I didn't answer and I was rude or that I lied to them or, you know, that there was some sort of perception in that way. So at this point in time, that's kind of been the best path for me to choose not to do that because I just don't want to ever mislead Titans fans in any way. I just don't want them to ever think I'm ignoring them or, you know, I mean, I'm one of those people. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's been said that social media simply exists to get everybody fired. So, like, if you can and don't need to, don't. Kudos to you.
I read Twitter, and I get a lot of news from there. And I don't have anything against it. It's just from in this position, if I worked for a radio station and I covered the team, it would be quite different.
Right.
Working for the team, I don't want my opinions to become what people end up thinking is potentially a fact and it not be so.
Sure. It could certainly lead to awkward situations. So I get it. Hey, so a week ago, the NFL released the schedule for the 2020 season, or what they hope is the schedule for the 2020 season. And obviously, we're likely months away from knowing what that will or will not look like. So I won't get into that with you. But looking at the schedule designed as it is, Titans with 3 primetime games. That's up 1 from a year ago. And they make their Monday Night Football debut on week 1. So right out of the gate. Everybody loves a winner, Mike, as you know, in your long career with the Titans, and their playoff run with those wins over New England and Baltimore seem to have gotten everyone's attention that this team is a team on the come up. And now I would guess the challenge seems to be, and I think Mike Vrabel has said it, how do you go from good to great?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I mean, it's 100% right. From the Titans fan standpoint, I love the fact for our fans that the 3 primetime games meets respect. Because now you don't sit at the, you know, you're not sitting at the kids' table anymore. You get to sit at the adults' table. It's a step up in weight class, however you want to describe it. But at the same time, it's more of a challenge because some of the travel things that go, you know, we're going to play that Monday night game September 14th at 9:10, which means when we land back in Nashville, it's probably going to be about 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means your preparation for the next game is really difficult because, you know, Tuesday is going to be a tough day. If you're my age, it's especially going to be a tough day. But, you know, but that's what you do. I mean, that's what the Patriots have done for 20 years. The Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers have dealt with this for years. That's what you do. And so you don't whine about it. You like the fact that you're not playing 16 games at noon on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a great schedule. I mean, we're home for the entire month of October. Our bye week is in week 7, which is normally a good time for a bye. 6 of our first 9 are at home. That means five of our last seven are obviously on the road. Mm-hmm. It's a good schedule. I mean, if we take care of business, we can be a playoff team with that schedule. But it's also, if you don't take care of business, you can wake up and find yourself in January watching everybody else play.
Yep. Fans obviously love to project the wins and losses when the schedules come out in May. I do it. I know Brad across the glass does it. Do you do it? And if you do, do you share those opinions? Or is it just something that maybe you do and you just kind of keep it to yourself because of the reasons that we just covered about Twitter?
No, I don't. I used to early in my career, and only one year did I even get close to being right. And so it just became such an embarrassing exercise that I just find it kind of like with pull-ups. I just stopped doing them. it's one of those things that, you know, last year I entered the season thinking, man, we have a really good football team. And then we started 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this team in October and I'm thinking, this is a good ball club. Why? And, you know, I knew the quarterback play had been below average, but I didn't realize what a difference Ryan Tannehill could make.
Man.
The team that you saw in January was the team I expected to see all year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what was funny about when we beat the Patriots, at that moment, we were actually better than the Patriots.
Yeah.
Our record wasn't as good because of how we started, but we had a better football team. And that's what's so difficult about projecting the NFL is there are really three seasons within the season. There's September, and then there's the middle part, and then there's December and January. And what you look like in September, you often don't look like in December and January, and that was the case for the Titans a year ago.
Full disclosure, Mike, I am a Patriots fan, and I agree with everything you just said. They were the better team. They outplayed the Patriots in that game, and I don't think you're not the only one that wasn't anticipating that Tannehill would be able to do what he did once he took over in Week 7. So I was going to ask about the Zoom and everything like that, but let's stick with this for a second. Tannehill has that career year. He's the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. He gets the contract. What are reasonable expectations for him again this year? They've got weapons around him now. You got A.J. Brown, Smith at tight end, and clearly you're going to feed Derrick Henry the ball as much as you can. What does he need to do without, you know, putting up insane numbers for the Titans to be able to make another deep postseason run?
Here's the only number that matters. Matt, the difference in the Titans and the reason that Tannehill made the Titans better offensively than they had been since 2003, the year Steve McNair won the MVP, is they averaged 26 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the final total. Under Tannehill, they averaged close to 30 per game. All his numbers are about are how many points you score, because the reason the Titans elevated, even though it was a fourth straight 9-7, but the reason that 9-7 was so much better than the other ones is the team went from 18.5 points a game to 26 points a game. They scored a touchdown more mm-hmm. last year than they did the year before. That's what it's about for Tannehill. And here's why they wanted him back. Tannehill threw 22 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions.
Yep.
I'd take that ratio today.
Yep.
He had some good runs as well. Tannehill's a lot more mobile than what people know. But Arthur Smith and Tannehill got into this groove together where Arthur was letting Ryan call the plays at the line. And in calling the plays at the line, his checks were fantastic. A lot of the great Derrick Henry runs were called. I mean, the Titans were going without a huddle, but they were doing it Peyton Manning style. Back in the day with Indianapolis, remember he would go to the line and he would look at it and then he would call the play there based on what he saw.
Yep.
That's what the Titans were letting Tannehill do. So even in some of those playoff situations where he wasn't throwing for fabulous numbers, he was running the offense precisely. If he does that again, then the Titans will be successful. To me, it's not about touchdowns or interceptions. Mm-hmm. It's about points. If this team can keep scoring, they can play into January.
To your point, you look at what he did in the playoffs. He only attempted 15 throws against the Patriots. He only attempted 14 against Baltimore. But he threw 3 touchdowns and one interception. And he made the crucial throws when he needed to. And when you have a running game working the way that Derrick Henry has got it going, that seems like it's a recipe success for any team in the NFL.
Well, and it goes back to our Eddie George days in terms of philosophy for the opponent. Now that Derrick Henry's back, what does every team have to do the minute they line up to play the Titans, Matt?
Put your eyes in the backfield, yep.
Yep, just like what they had to do with Eddie George back in the day, and thus Steve McNair was able to expand his game because things were open due to the consideration for George. Well, that's the same thing with Henry. Is, you know, we hit the deep pass to Khalif Raymond. We hit the touchdown pass to Anthony Firkser. We did a lot of different things because everybody had to be concerned with Henry first. And I think that gives a guy 32 years old like Tannehill, who's very smart, the opportunity to take advantage.
You don't need to be told who I'm talking to. It's Mike Keith joining us, the voice of the Tennessee Titans. So head coach Mike Vrabel met with the media via Zoom yesterday, being socially irresponsible. Among the things that he discussed was the whole virtual offseason program, which has now been extended to May 29th, and it's going to be a whole wait and see what happens. You've obviously been with the Titans for a long time now. How important are these workouts for rookies specifically in their development? And do you think we'll just see, not just with the Titans, but around the league, that maybe it takes a little bit longer to get these guys up to speed, the more that they are held off the field and have to do these workouts and these sessions via Zoom or whatever?
Matt, I think it's a great question. I think it's a dead-on question. I think younger teams are going to have a harder time early. Like, I get the Miami Dolphins. Man, I like what the Miami Dolphins have done. I like their whole plan. I like what they did last year. I like what they've added. But guess what? They're going to be young.
Yep.
So does that hurt them in September? I mean, a careful hypothesis says probably yes. The Titans are an older team.
Yep.
And that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Because this is not a rookie-filled team anymore. And you add Jonathan Joseph and you add Ibrahim Campbell and you add guys like that on defense who can walk in and play from day one, everybody is going to be hurt by no OTAs in mini camps. Rookies, I think, will be hurt for part of the season, and I think younger teams are going to have a harder time at the start because the thing we don't know, more than anything else, I think there's a very reasonable opportunity that we're going to play the first game of the season on September 10th. I don't know if training camps open July 31st. I don't know that we have preseason like what we've had in the past. So that being the case, and knowing we're already going to miss the entire get-together of the offseason, this is, you know, I think it's a big deal. So great question by you.
Yeah, and to your point, too, older teams that have been around, the Titans returned 10 of their 11 starters on offense. That offense that, as we talked about, was scoring 30 a game at the end of the year.
Right.
So it seems like, again, and maybe you start to read too much into things because obviously everybody likes, you know, when teams look a certain way on paper. But in theory, it would seem to at least offensively be a benefit for the Titans.
Well, that and Dennis Kelly as the 11th starter is 30 years old. So you lose Jack Conklin and you plug in the guy who was the number one backup. So you could even make the case that they have the whole group back. I think more importantly, the entire offensive staff is back, intact. Arthur Smith, year two, is the OC. The entire staff is back. I think we could play offense this Sunday. If we're going to play a game this Sunday, mm-hmm. I think we could be ready. Defensively, we've got work to do with some coaching changes and just a few personnel changes. So, you know, offense might have to carry the defense for a while.
What a change in Tennessee that would be, huh?
Right. Right. 100%. That's a complete 180 from where it has been.
It is. We are talking with Mike Keith, longtime voice of the Tennessee Titans. Something interesting that came up yesterday from the NFL was Joe Buck from the NFL on Fox acknowledging that we're potentially looking at games at least at the start of the year where there'll be empty stadiums and how certain broadcasts will make up for the loss of the in-stadium experience that Fox might pump in, and he said they probably would be pumping in game noise, that they would have some virtual fans. So a couple things on that. How do you think it's going to affect what we see on the field for the players? As you know, I mean, you're close to these guys. So much of football is based off emotion and momentum, right? When you make a great play and you jump up and there's nothing, and like everyone's just running down the field to reset the chains, like that's going to be a little bit weird for a lot of these guys that haven't played in front of, by and large, most of the league hasn't played in front of an empty field since, fifth or sixth grade?
Well, but, you know, I watch practice every day virtually, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not virtually. I go virtually to every practice. I'm not virtually watching practice. I attend practice almost every day. Better said, right?
Gotcha.
and when a guy makes a great play at practice, he still jumps up and gets excited, and the teammates get excited, and they have a big time. I think the difference may be if we get into these situations with no fans or not as many fans. You know, you go to Denver for Monday Night Football on September 14th at 9:10. If there are no fans or there are a limited number of fans, that's a huge advantage to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you don't have to go silent count. All of a sudden, a wave of emotion that comes over the game where the Broncos take momentum is not fed by cheers and noise and things of that sort. So I think the fan issue is going to be more about sort of our 1982-1987 NFL with strike years, where some of the competitive balance is going to be changed by circumstance. Playing Denver in September could be an advantage for the opposing team rather than having to go there in December. And so, you know, that's part of what this league year that we're yet to see, but everything being on the table, we just don't know.
Brad and I were also talking about it, and I'm certainly not trying to put you in a bad position as I ask this question. Referees, I would imagine it's going to impact differently because now you don't have the pressure, as we were talking about, of making that call because you hear the crowd and, you know, like human emotion, and you're influenced by that. And suddenly with no crowd, that'll be interesting to see what that looks like from an officiating standpoint.
You know, in calling games over the years, I found that's more true in basketball than it is in football.
Okay.
But you're 100% right that these are human beings. And when they feel a certain moment or feel a certain thing from the crowd, a reaction in a certain way, does it potentially have an impact on them? I would think certainly. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they feel that because they're doing this. These men and women who do these games are doing this because they love the game. And so they enjoy being in the spotlight, not probably as much as Ed Hockley, but they enjoy having a role in the game and staying involved in the game in this way. So, yeah, I mean, it can filter in a lot of different ways. You know, part of what we're talking about right now is travel. You know, how does this impact how you travel?
Mm-hmm.
And to be a road team, and we have this group with the Titans. I got to brag on them. They are absolutely the best operations staff I've ever seen for taking care of every detail. But now all of these other things that are going to have to go with it, I mean, it's going to be more of a hassle to travel even charter. So does that make it tougher? You know, what about those West Coast teams coming all the way across to the Eastern time zone and now having to vary how they go about their routine for travel?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things that are going to open up in a different way based on what we're going to end up seeing.
We are wrapping up with Mike Keith, longtime voice of the Tennessee Titans. Something I was reading the other day that was interesting to me, remote broadcasting. We're seeing it right now. NASCAR is using it this weekend as they return to the track. We've seen it with UFC before. Do you foresee something like this coming to the NFL? And if so, how difficult would that make your job being able to do what you do?
Well, the remote broadcast thing has been in place for a while. You know, soccer, I think it's Univision, had done it out of Miami for years with games in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked four regionals for ESPN in baseball, And the last year I got a chance to do a regional, two of the 16 regionals were worked out of Bristol.
Okay.
So it's coming. I mean, this is coming. And again, the travel thing, all of the other parts that you can do, the fact that you could use remote cameras, have less of a staff have to be involved. Obviously, for the broadcast entities, the cost cutting is something that would be appealing. I would hate it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a guy, my windows are open no mm-hmm. matter the weather. I like the feel of the crowd. I like to know. I think you know as a broadcaster when a big moment is based on sort of the energy flowing through the crowd, and you could see the body language of the players mm-hmm. on either side. Yeah, I think it would be – I mean, to just call the play, it's not hard.
Right.
Smith takes the handoff from Jones at right guard, runs 3 yards, tackled by Williams at second and seven. I mean, that's not hard. But to give somebody the real story
mm-hmm.
of what's happening in that particular arena at that moment, I feel like you have to be there. And you, because we love it the same way the officials do and the players do. I mean, that's why we do what we do. We love it. And you, if you've done it for a long time, you know what those moments are all about. I don't think you capture those moments unless you're there.
Yeah, I would sense that it's particularly for radio, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're painting the picture for people that can't or aren't watching for the most part. And things that I'm sure that you do that, you know, you the way that you look at for the 24-second clock or for the down and distance right. or what you're looking, you know, as you mentioned, looking at the coaching staff. What's Mike Vrabel doing right now? Is he running up and down the field? Like, those are the things that you're not going to capture from just, you know, the cameras that would be available. So, interesting, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that as the radio voice. So, I guess
I hope it doesn't happen on radio anytime soon, but I do think it's going to happen on television more and more.
Yeah, and we've had that happen here. We've had ESPNs, you know, doing the Memphis Tiger games or whatever, and it's remote. And it's a different, like, you notice it as a viewer. I notice it, and you could tell. I hope we're a ways away from that. But listen, I really appreciate your time today, Mike. Really enjoyed it, and we look forward to catching up with you again down the road.
Matt, thanks for having me on. Please call me again. I enjoyed it.
Will do. Mike Keith, voice of the Tennessee Titans, man, he's terrific.
He is good.
I really enjoy him.
The touchdown Titans call is
I should have asked
legendary
him
at this point.
It is, but I'm partial to sack.
Sack is a big one.
Should have asked him to do that.
It's the very basic call when you make it special that distinguishes somebody like Mike Keith. I enjoy listening to him on those Sundays, and God, I hope I'm listening to him soon.
I know, right? I
think at least in August.
You get so fired up thinking about it, but you're realizing too, like, man, we are such a long ways away, particularly when every day seems to bring a different, as Jason touched on, a different commissioner, a different president saying, hey, we'll be on campus. Another guy go, I don't know if we'll be on campus. I don't know how we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Can't have students.
You have Mississippi State say, yeah, we're doing school in the fall, and then you'll have the school that's 200 miles north of them say, we don't know yet.
Yeah. I don't know. Huh. But enjoyed that with Mike Keith.
He's good.
When we come back, we're going to do a little over and under, I
believe.
I have
a list for you. I'm going to pick your brain. I've been crafting them while listening to Mike.
Oh, so. Wonderful. Yeah. Over-under is next. Matt Starkid for Jason DeJohn, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis and the Mid-South station you can count on. Live on the radio.com free app. Memphis is listening now more than ever to 92.9.
Thanks to Scott Smith, thanks to the Wolf River Popcorn Company, Lucky Heart Sanitizer, and Darian Newsom at the Taylor's Union for listening to 92.9.
On AM, on FM, on the radio.com app, and on smart speakers by saying play 92.9 ESPN. 92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stay connected.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
When faced with challenges, Americans have always risen to the occasion. Since 1928, Cook's Pest Control has consistently done our part to help protect health and property. As we confront the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has deemed pest control as an essential service to help protect homes, hospitals, and our food supply. Cook's Pest Control is on the job. We're here when you need us.
Small businesses are grappling with the impact of these uncertain times and looking for resources. That's why Dell Technologies assembled an all-star lineup of podcasters to create the first ever virtual conference to share advice and inspiration for small businesses. Dell Technologies is here, from keeping you connected while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams to providing relevant content for businesses. Search Dell Technologies Small Business Podference on radio.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It is 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish, as you surely know by now. It's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it is what I, Gary Parrish, buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. Do you know how silly it is to pay nearly twice as much for another bottle of vodka when New Amsterdam is awesome and available? It's super silly. So don't do that. Instead, just grab a bottle or a case of New Amsterdam Vodka, which is the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. And very shortly, they're going to have a watermelon flavored vodka. That'll be the newest flavor when it hits the shelves. It'll be here before you know it. Also, New Amsterdam got a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, grab that. A bottle of New Amsterdam gluten-free vodka.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.